agencies like the Forest Service, National Park Service, Fish and Wildlife, they have historical buildings, and many of them have wall hangings that have special dyes in the fabrics. You just can't use traditional pest management approaches on these things. It may just totally damage these historical elements of the buildings. And so they have very specialized needs. The individual specialty modules will be 6 to 12 hours apiece, and a certificate of completion will be awarded for each specialty module. Here's an example of a weed management certificate program. Everybody takes the core IPM. If you're involved with or interested in biocontrol of weeds with insects, you'd certainly want an introductory background in entomology and also weed science. And then you take the rangeland weeds specialty module. Here's an example of a structural pest management certificate program. Everybody takes the core IPM, probably need entomology and vertebrates in this case. And then, then you take the specialty module for structural. Here's probably one of the more complicated ones, landscape and turf. Everybody takes the core IPM module. You probably need entomology, plant pathology, and weed science. If you had areas that were invaded by nutria, and this is some people call it a giant rat that's invaded a lot of the riparian areas, especially in the south, you may want a background in vertebrate biology as well. And then you take the landscape and turf. So in that way, you can truly tailor your training to your pest management needs. It cuts the fat out of all the training. And any specialty module could be developed to service the training needs for IPM implementation through NRCS. How is this program delivered? We have IPM cube modules will be delivered up via online web CT and Blackboard. There'll be progress and evaluation that'll be tracked. We'll have an internal email for contacting instructors, and Adobe Presenter and enhanced PowerPoint will also be utilized, and lots of video for specialized training. And this past spring and summer, Mark and his co-worker from University of Minnesota were taking footage all over the country in different National Park Service settings to get video footage to include in the training programs for some of the National Park Service modules that we're developing. The benefits of IPM cube training: current expert content, electable topics to address agency needs, cost effectiveness, asynchronous online delivery, a consistent IPM message across agencies. The IPM steering committee is co-chaired by myself from Washington, D.C. I'm the national program leader for bio-based pest management with CSRES, and Marcus Cerno, he's the head of the Department of Entomology at the University of Minnesota. Here are some of our educational institutional partners: Mark and also Mike McDonough from University of Minnesota, Steve Yonanick from Purdue, Rob Wiedemann from Arkansas, and Doug Jardine from Kansas State University. Our IPM steering committee federal agency partners include Al Green from General Services Administration, Carol DeSalvo from the Park Service, Doug Holey from NRCS, yours truly from CSRES, Tiffany Partisans from the Fish and Wildlife Service, and Roger Sheely from ARS. The implementation schedule at the moment, we will have beta versions in spring 2008 of the core IPM module, 1 to 2 pest biology modules, structural IPM module, structural IPM for managers module, and we have invasive species and IPM for seasonal workers under development. We'd appreciate your help in the development and assessment of existing modules and the identification of pest management training needs, and certainly the identification of future modules that will be needed down the road. And here's contact information, and that's all I have. Thank you very much. Okay. Oh, for my part. Now we have Mark Parson that's going to talk about IPM implementation from the state and local perspective.
Okay, thanks. I'll be brief. That was really exciting, that diagram. And I was very interested because I even talked to our national pest manager at Washington. He was excited about it too, so it must be a good thing. Regardless, if you look through all the boxes and the idea and the big picture about what Bob was trying to explain there, those are the kind of partnerships and collaborations that we like to see. And we need to have more of this at the national level. And we talked extensively about that, Bob, about the need for additional input and influence from CSRS and others, just like we do at the state and local level. And I'm not going to go into detail about the state and local level because I think for the most part I've covered those issues in previous presentations, and you'll find it in the documentation, the seat at the table. So take a look at those. The fact is that we need to keep an eye on the big picture of what we're talking about here. And if I can wrap up to a certain extent, I want to say, you know, it's easy to be pulled into specific kinds of little issues, I call them little sometimes, and concerns and problems. We know that we can develop good partnerships and collaboration and have successes on the ground. These kinds of you know, ways of addressing these kinds of things and getting input is ways of guaranteeing that as well. And I'm excited to see about this. I had not been, I saw the presentation earlier about this. Jonathan, this is something that might be suggested in terms of TSPs to getting that level of expertise documented to a certain extent. You know, we always know there's going to be a certain level of legalese and bureaucracy and technical gaps. And importantly, especially with the 2002 Farm Bill, the level of, shall we say, involvement by a lot of folks in these programs administered by our agency has identified a lot of competing interests. And if I were to say that the agency was slightly naive at all levels, local, state, and national, I can say that, I think, without hesitation. We had no idea in certain circles that these programs would grow as much as they had. And we have to grow with them, and we have to understand how to make a balanced approach and balance decisions with all the different funds and limited resources that we have. Folks, there are a lot of folks, people at the table wanting us to redirect in different directions. And you know what? All of their concerns are important. They need to be considered. It's not, believe it or not, IPM isn't the only thing on the table, although I bet you guys agree with me on that, but there are other important things. You know, we live in this global world, and we keep hearing more and more about all the impacts nationally and worldwide that are impacting our future. We do need a balanced approach, not just in how we manage the programs, but a balanced approach in how we work with growers. We like the holistic approach. It takes in as much as possible in the thinking process to identify all those different kinds of resource concerns that we want to the extent that we can include IPM in that systems approach, in that thinking process, whatever you want to call it. It goes all the way back to Alan Savory, if you knew him, and a holistic approach on range management and so forth. I mean, we've grown with these kinds of things, and there's different spins on it. Every farm bill and every politicized time that we deal with dollars. So let's take the high road, and again, we thank you for inviting us here. We do appreciate your input and interest in our programs, and we will continue to try to hone them to make that balanced approach so we're taking care of our future and our land and for ourselves and our children ahead of us. Thanks.
But if there's a couple of questions from these last couple speakers, please, Walt.
Yeah, I just have one more. If I look at that chart, you know, there's a huge amount of stuff. Why don't we work through each state's land grant school and send the people that need this training to those schools that have some external food? I can speak from the standpoint of California, but you know, we're ready. Instead of online modules, you would have people there walking and walking and talking and talking, teaching. quoting it from his...
That's for you, Bob.
Oh, yeah.
Is that for me?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with cost effectiveness. I mean, don't I have to put somebody up for lodging, travel? What's that now?
That wasn't cost effective, those persons.
The what wasn't?
That chart you had was not cost effective. It's a hell of a lot easier to use something that's already established. And that's all right. You got great.
Oh, absolutely, you do. Well, let me just make a remark here. I think the advantage of such a system, I don't think you have the ability to tailor training to all these specialty needs all across the country. I think there are site-specific needs and even individual-specific needs, depending on what this entity is, that this system could deliver more effectively. Yeah, Gary. Well, a lot of it.
Better than people in states can.
Yeah, you want to answer, Mark?
Yeah, one of the. I think you're talking about the IPMQ program. If you look at that, the content development are by individuals in states around the country. They are ranked as teaching people. They're content specialists. It's not a federal agency, it's still a consortium of faculty members are putting the content together and then delivering online in a way that allows people to do that, take that anywhere they are, as opposed to going to a site and having to spend the money to travel, put up room and board, and so on. And so from that standpoint, it is cost-effective. And it doesn't supplant land-grant training commission. It just provides another avenue to get more people trained.
If we did this in the long run, we actually bring bringing students into a program that provides training ready when they came out, instead of having to train someone that's already in that. I mean, this is what we need to build right now. We're talking about PSP and all this. We're not getting students in. What can you do to make that campus more attractive to these programs so when they go out looking for a job, they feed it in our PSP, and then you make the judgments themselves. They don't have to have a cookie cutter to make that judgment. They are trained in the ability to take each situation individually and make the judgment. That's what we should be doing.
Well, I think there are a lot of different levels of training that are needed. You know, they aren't all the same. And that's the advantage of this system. But as Mark said, the way that we envision these modules coming together is that the consortium will provide upfront resources for content development. If anybody in the land-grant system or even a private company or a federal agency wants to act as an instructor, then they'll get resources coming back. It'll be all fee-based, which will generate resources that'll be sustainable over time. So after a while, the program will be sustainable and self-sufficient. Yes?
Larry?
The situation that Walt's describing is analogous to the situation that I've seen in South Carolina. And actually, the test time for a conference like this. Web-based tools are perfectly legitimate thing to do. But someday, somewhere, the farmer making a decision to change something on that farm is a personal decision, and it's something new, it's something that one person helps on the issue. It's a conservation program, and the way it's coming to the business. So I would be very uncomfortable, and maybe this is where it's coming from, if this supplanted our understanding of the need for that. Whether it's a district conservationist talking to a farmer and saying, you know, we've got a good pest management program in there, it's going to work. You know, you really, really want to start getting those canals out of the street. It's a relationship that I hold on to and a relationship to see. So, if anyone believes that we can deal with our technical assistance problems and our gaps by putting a website out, probably not going to be able to do that. And that serve the ability of people to do it through part of the individual? Yes. And I'd be very effective by applying it. It's not about, we have a proposal that's turned down. And